Get real advice from renowned experts and entrepreneurs on today's business leaders. Here's your host, Gabe Arnold.
All right, on today's show, I have Joshua Lee, and he is the founder of Standout Authority. He's a longtime entrepreneur that has been around the block, which is the type of entrepreneur I like to have on the show. So welcome to the show, Josh.
Gabe, appreciate it, man. Excited to be here and to jump in and share.
Yeah, absolutely. So I always like to start out with the same question because it leads to very interesting stories and insights. And so I want to know, when did you first realize that you were an entrepreneur?
You know, it's the question, right? When do you realize you're an entrepreneur? I think my mom probably realized at a very young age, just because she tells the story. It's hard for me to remember, but she's like, yeah, it was crazy. Used to love to go to summer school and I couldn't understand why until one time that one of the teachers called and you had gotten in trouble. And because you were understood math well enough and you knew that you could play cards during summer school and you were actually taking the other kids' money. And I'm like, interesting. And then, you know, you go to the whole thing, right? I used to get my parents to go to Costco or Sam's or whatever the hell it was, then buy the big bags of candy. I'd sell it out of my locker. 100% profit because my parents were actually buying the candy and it didn't matter what I sold it for. So probably one of those early times where I realized, all right, I like being able to find the loopholes and being able to, okay, there's a problem. How can I solve it?
Yeah, that's awesome. And I've had tons of people on and they all are selling or hustling or doing something as a kid, but I've never heard anybody talk about how they were taking money by playing cards at a young age. That's pretty awesome.
I can't, you know, it's amazing. And it's like, you try and rack your brain. I'm like, I remember doing it, but I don't remember consciously doing it. But my mom's like, oh yeah, 100%. I remember. I'm like, all right, well, yeah.
One of my nieces is 4. I think I have 11 nieces and nephews. So I can't keep track of all the ages exactly anymore. But the other day we were out to dinner and, you know, I was trying to get her to eat. And, you know, bribing her to eat her food, you know, typical horrible uncle behavior, but I was going to bribe her to eat her food. I'm like, I'll give you a buck if you finish, you know, half your dinner. And she's like, how about $30?
100% get that. So I have 2 kids. My daughter's 8 and my son's 11. And you're right. Shouldn't bribe. And my wife and I finally realized we were probably overpaying the kids because all of a sudden my daughter's like, I want to start walking dogs. And I'm like, we're like, cool. Yeah. Make a flyer, go through there. We had to adjust our language because they're like, you pay us. And we're like, no. Let's be a little bit more. And they're like, and it was like 5 minutes, $10, 10 minutes, $25. And we're like in 30 minutes is like 50 bucks. And we're like, no one's going to pay this. Well, I won't do it then. That's just a waste of my time. I'm like, I look at my wife, I'm like, all right, we're paying these kids for doing random crap too much. And we're bribing them because they don't understand what things actually should cost. So yeah, I get it.
At least she values her time, right? So
I'm like, man, I get it, man. But I don't know if anyone's going to pay you, you know, 10 bucks for a 5-minute walk of their dog. I mean, that's not even long enough.
Got to look at market rates a little bit there, right?
So exactly, like talk about inflation.
Yeah, no kidding. Awesome. So you start out hustling in the schoolyard, which is awesome, and then give us the short version of from there.
Yeah, no worries. Well, you know, going through high school, went to college, in college started working for like a wireless company. Ended up being what was Singular at the time, GTE Wireless, then Singular. It all rotated in. Yeah. But, you know, I saw a massive opportunity there. And I actually jumped from there into, got my broker's license. That was my first kind of company and left college a little bit early just because I was like, well, there's no way I'm going to make the kind of money I'm making now going to school for math and finance and things of that nature. So
yeah,
I was in Austin at the time going to University of Texas. Fast forward a little bit, moved to California to be able to start a business there. This is early 2000. And I mean, honestly, it was a bad market. People would, as I say, run over their own grandmother to close a loan. You know, people were making more money. This is prior to 2008, right? You could see the writing on the wall. Like, okay, if I refinance my house, I'm going to make more money taking the percent out of my house than I do at my own job. This is awesome. And I'm like, no, you shouldn't make more money than you actually make at your job. But I got into, from there, I was like, I can't do this. And I jumped into the online world. the friend of mine. And, you know, it was there for a little bit. Then I started my own company again. I kind of got blessed and cursed at the same time. One of my first companies I actually started working with and got a major contract with was a company that most people forgot about, MySpace. So I actually used to monetize at a very young age all the traffic from MySpace. We did arbitrage, buy low, sell high. So you buy traffic at pennies and sell it for. We had like keywords like mesothelioma that were paying like $100 a click, you know. So it's like printing money back then, good and bad, right? You make a lot of money, but you make a lot of mistakes.
And you can lose it pretty fast too.
You can lose it. We had a lot of friends that went up and down. Like 1 week they had their Ferrari, 2 months later they're broke again. But I made the mistakes. I learned a lot. Went through, started multiple different companies in, you know, all the acronyms, you know, CPC, CPA, CPL, all the different things. I've monetized over 35 trillion online impressions on my own servers, and I've actually controlled in aspects. I've probably done, my companies have done over $300 million in ad spend. So through all that time frame, I learned massive differences that then actually traffic. And actually true engagement. And that's kind of where I had a full reset about 5-6 years ago, where I actually went through a divorce, shut down all my companies. My ex cared more about the money aspect than I did. I cared about time. So I kind of walked away. And that's where Standard Authority Today was born, on how to actually, you know, really help marketers be more human online and actually educate, inspire, and draw people in rather than ever having to sell them. And we just use the vehicle of LinkedIn to be able to do that.
That's awesome, man.
Was that fast enough? Slow? I don't
know. That was perfect. I was timing you. It was perfect. So you're good. It was, you'll get a chuckle out of this because I was one of those people that, you know, borrowed too much and did too much in the early 2000s. And just the other day, just randomly, I got two $75 checks from Countrywide Mortgage from some class action lawsuit that apparently I was in that I didn't know about.
Oh, dude. I mean, it was crazy. I mean, people were doing negams, reverse mortgages, all kind of stuff like that. And you're like, the only time you ever want to do any of that kind of stuff is like, you're about to die.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you shouldn't do it in your 20s and 30s on a mortgage, because you're like, oh, wow, I can pay like $500 a month for $1 million home. It's great.
No, I don't know what I was not only affected by it, but also made the stupid choices in that, because I was young then too. And it's like I lost my first business, you know, because of the market crash.
2008 was rough. I mean, I remember I was bleeding cash. I tried to keep on a lot of my best friends and almost put myself in bankruptcy personally, because I just was trying to go through that and be able to get through. Luckily, I saved a lot of that money. But I mean, prior to that, I had gotten hit with, I made a bad investment. I was actually at at the Playboy Club in Vegas with a friend of mine, and he had just sold his company for, you know, like $20 million. You're like, whoa, that's amazing, you know? And he's like, I'll sell you the source code. I know you're building your own code, Josh. I'll sell you the source code for $1.3 million. And we're sitting there playing blackjack and having drinks. I'm like, sure, yeah, let's do it, man. And I mean, that $1.3 million bet cost me almost $10 million worth of revenue over the next year, because I didn't do any due diligence. And I mean, then 2008 hit. And I mean, it was just craziness. So I made my mistakes.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's how we learn. And the other thing that kind of came to mind as you're talking is, I think that as entrepreneurs, sometimes we, early in our entrepreneurial career, we go through a lot of cycles. We try a lot of different things. We fail a lot. We succeed a lot. Like for me, looking back, like it was chaotic. Like now I'm in a similar place to you, of like, you know, pretty steady, easy, slower, a little bit slower life, you know, doing things a little bit differently. And all that experience is now super valuable, even though it was chaotic and painful for many years, that's for sure.
Oh yeah. Eventually you find your stride. I mean, with all the different companies that I had built and I'd followed that, oh, you're just supposed to build companies, make more money, keep on making more money. And I was 35 pounds, maybe 40 pounds heavier than I am now. Never been heavy in my life. My relationships were monetary, and I only had a vision about where I was. I had no clue where I was going. Everything was work or play. And it's just one of those pieces that you just couldn't do. And I remember, like, prior to my divorce, I when I had my son, I moved home, and I was like, you know what? I don't want to be that dad. I want to be around. I want to be that. I'm working in my home office. my doors, I wanted them always to be open because I wanted whatever I said, I wanted to be able to say in front of my son and not worry about it. If I couldn't say it, I shouldn't say it, right? And at one point, just life had just got overwhelming and my doors shut. And I remember thinking, oh my God, this office is not only a sanctuary for me, but it's a coffin, because I would just stare at the wall for 8 hours a day straight and just business would run because I put all the right pieces in place. I just wasn't fulfilled. I was just doing what everyone had told me to do, not what I felt needed to happen.
Yeah. And now it sounds like you're a little more grounded and focused on.
Life is so much better being able to actually do things that you know that impact others. And you can see that all that traffic that I told you about, I don't know if I actually helped anyone or sold anything of value. It was just making money, and people would ask, like, what do you do? I'm like, just make some money. It's okay. Now it's like when I talk about what I do, it's hard not to smile because I get to really help people. I get to work with guys that used to read their books on how to be able to start my own companies over 15 years ago. And yeah. I know that, like, I get to work with awesome entrepreneurs like yourself because, dude, I tried it, changing the world by myself. I almost killed myself. Yeah. And people, you hear that all the time from entrepreneurs, right? I mean, they have suicidal thoughts. I mean, these are things that really go through because you feel so alone.
Yeah.
And once I figured out I couldn't do it on my own, I needed to work with amazing guys like yourself. It's so much better because it's the only way that we can change the world. Because entrepreneurs, we're the ones that really have the ability to be able to make massive shifts and massive changes in this world and be able to make this world a better place, not just for my kids, but for everyone's children and the generations on. So we've got to be able to rise up together.
Absolutely. And I'm really curious because, you know, you've obviously made lots of money, tried lots of different things, and then you came back to something that matters, obviously, and has impact, I think, of really, you know, the human to human connection and really helping people build authority. And I would assume, and correct me if I'm wrong, like from a monetary standpoint, it's different. It's probably not millions and millions and millions of dollars.
That's not my focus, right? I mean, it was not like, oh, how much money can I amass, right? Money is the byproduct.
Right.
And that's kind of like what I do with my clients now, too. It's because, you know, I help them build advocates first. Mm-hmm. And allow the byproduct to become clients because people are choosing to work with them rather than being sold into it. So you're right. Like I used to be able to go to bed at night and know that I'd wake up and we'd probably do $50,000 overnight while we were sleeping in traffic, if not more.
Right.
I mean, something would get caught up and you could lose $100,000 overnight. You know, I mean, it was so stressful. Like you'd have to have your phone on all night just in case something happened. No matter how many people worked at your company, as an entrepreneur, as a business owner, you're the only one that's going to truly care about your company the most.
Right.
And so it would be sleepless nights, like 2 or 3 a.m. I have to wake up, do something. And I just wanted more, man. And I mean, now with what I do, I get to choose the people. Are they adding something of value to this world?
Yeah.
If they're looking to monetize it and they're like, hey, Josh, help me do that. I'm like, I'm not your guy. There's like 1,000 people behind me that are willing to take your money because that's exactly what they're going to do.
Right. And I'm curious, like I've been watching, you know, from, because I built websites with SEO and in pay-per-click, and it was easier back then than it is now.
It was much easier.
It was literally printing money. That's how I built my first business and thought I was a genius and I was just lucky. I'm curious because I've seen like, if I look at the last 20 years, I feel like the rise of digital marketing and digital on the whole has been really rapid. And now I feel like it's super democratized so that anybody can do it. And I'm almost feeling like there's a flattening in that space of like, yes, there are obviously experts and like there are specialties, but I almost feel like that is going to lose impact and it's going to go back to where you're focused of like really building relationships and really focusing on quality over quantity. If I'm just skewed in my perspective, because that's what I believe, or do you think like, that digital marketing is going to go through some kind of bust here. I've kind of felt some of that and I'm not sure what your thoughts are.
I think it is. I mean, so many more people. I mean, everyone's online now. And like you said, like everyone can do it. Do they actually know how to do it is the big thing. And that's what that was like with arbitrage back in the day, right? I mean, as soon as everyone thought that like, oh, wow, this is easy. I can just buy traffic from this one place and then sell it to Overture, which being Yahoo or something like that, or Google or whoever it was at a higher click, I can make a, Now, there was a technique and a process to be able to do that, because if someone's willing to click two different times to get to where they want, they're going to convert really high. But when people are just massively sending traffic, I mean, that's the same kind of situation now, is people are like, I'm going to teach you how to be a LinkedIn expert. And you're like, and then you look at their profile. This one guy reached out to me, Josh, ever thought about using LinkedIn to get leads? And it's like, I've never done that before. He's like, he's LinkedIn expert. And I hate that word expert. And then you look, 3 months ago, he was a Domino's delivery driver, but he took a course. Now he's an expert. Now he's helping other people. And you're like, dude, like people don't even, they don't even try to actually do it anymore. They're like, I'm going to take a course on how to be a coach in digital marketing. I'm going to coach someone else how to do digital marketing, even though I've never done it. So it's just, people get it, man. Like you and I, we've been doing this long enough, right? Gabe, you know, if you see an ad, you know, if you're in a digital funnel, and you know, if you're in automation. So you only choose to be in those if you choose to be in those. And more people are getting educated. Same thing with you and I, when we first started. Yeah. No one knew those first top two, you know, ads were actually ads in Google. They didn't know they were sponsored. They just thought they were part of the algorithm, part of the listing. Right. Once people got educated enough, they're like, oh, scroll, let me go past that. That's sponsored. I'm not going to click on it, even though I still do. And that's the whole piece. So we've got to get to a point. It's, you know, like you were saying too, like there's other misnomers that used to be, content used to be king, right? You've heard that slogan?
Yeah.
Dude, content's not king anymore. There's so much content and there's just overload.
Yeah.
So now it's quality is king. Mm-hmm. You know, how do we add value, add quality that adds insight that no one else does, or same thing with engagement, right? How do we actually truly connect? And so, I mean, that's the whole piece. Like, I just use LinkedIn just because most people, dude, everyone's like, oh, LinkedIn shit. I just get people, I connect with someone, they go, hey, Gabe, you got a black shirt on? I've got a black shirt on. Let's connect, man. We're exactly the same. And then 2 seconds later, they get the thing I love the most, the pitch. Right. Hey, I don't know what you do, but I think my company can help you. Let's set up a call. And I was like, so I knew there had to be a better way. And I mean, you know, I grew up being an only child, so relationships were really key for me because I wanted to learn how to be able to connect with other people. Now, early on in my life, yeah, I use it to manipulate situations, understanding, you know, mannerisms and how to be able to connect with people. But now I saw an opportunity to go, how do I use that background on that traffic background? And how do I use just connecting on a human level in the digital world? It's cool, man. I mean, you get to see it every day. You get to see actually having real conversation with real people on the other side, and they appreciate that. You can cut through the noise.
Yeah, that's definitely the truth. And like, you're totally right. It's been, I also almost feel like even only in the last 2 years, the shift has accelerated from content is king to people now want to pay for less information. Like that's the shift of like, I'll happily pay you to curate my information for me because yeah. I don't want to deal with it all. And yeah, definitely the human to human connection part. And it's kind of funny to me to see LinkedIn go through its Facebookization, for lack of a better word. That's not right. A word, but it's adding a bunch of good things and like features. And I like what I see a lot of it, but there's this huge migration there. And now my inbox there is just full of shit. It's just full of pitches and garbage. And yet I take a look at what you're doing and you get massive engagement and massive reach on things. Even as I've watched as all platforms, you know, those of us that have been around, even as I watch them tank the reach on,
right.
on as a whole on the algorithm, I watch Facebook go through the same thing like 5 or 6 years ago, because that's kind of my primary playground. And right. I said, plenty of reach and impact because it's like I'm actually connected there and I actually show up.
Well, the organic reach on LinkedIn still, if you know how to use it and stay within it, is like Facebook circa 2008. I mean,
we right.
could just be able to go through. And I mean, that the biggest problem is people just want to, the biggest problem is everyone's always talking about themselves. They're talking at people on LinkedIn and they're not talking, having conversations with mm-hmm. others, right? And you want to speak conversationally, you want to add value to the platform. People don't care about your shiny shit. They don't care what you can do for them. They care about what you have done for someone else so they can see within a story on how to be able to do it. You don't hashtag stuff. You don't tag people for no, for no reason at all other than, you know, just to tag them. No, you tag people because you want to give them appreciation. And there's different things. And you're tagged with 50 other people on Facebook, LinkedIn, whatever it is. And you're like, I don't even know this person that tagged me. They're just trying to use my influence. And so that's the cool thing. Like, LinkedIn's super big against automation. Mm-hmm. They've actually added their first automation piece ever. Them personally, in the last week or two, it's an out of office reply, so to speak. So we'll see how it goes. But I mean, and they fight automation. You get caught using automation on LinkedIn, you'll get booted. There's little things to go around it. I mean, that's like me. You'll see on my LinkedIn, it says Joshua B. Lee. So I always know when it says, "Hey, Joshua B," because my first name is Joshua B. I personally looked at your profile and I wanted to reach out and connect and see if you've ever used LinkedIn to get leads. Oh, dude, I get it all the time. All the time. I'm like, did you look at my profile? But in all honesty, like, we don't do LinkedIn lead generation because we do such high touch points with everything we do. We do more business. We're more of a business development arm for someone on LinkedIn, right? I mean, being able to go in, the things that we do on LinkedIn, and we're going, have you watched Social Dilemma yet?
No, I haven't.
It's that one on Netflix. I mean, I don't know who's surprised that, you know, all these platforms are, you know, really changing the way our perspective and, you know, conditioning us certain ways. But we've all been conditioned to like, comment, share, post, like, comment, share, post, like, comment, share, post. And we just keep on going through this whole path. And what we did was change the conditioning and create stopgaps, right? I mean, my mom always told me to appreciate other people, you know, for whatever they are, right? Treat others like you want to be treated. And so we start off with appreciation with anything, right? I mean, you're talking about how I get access and I get engagement on my content. Well, I've went through anyone that's ever looked at my profile or ever engaged in my content or reach out and like, "Hey, Gabe, man, I saw you like my recent post. I just want to take 2 seconds out and say thank you."
Yeah.
You know, too often we don't appreciate this thing. I'd love to be able to connect with you and, you know, find out what really pushed you to like my post. Mm-hmm. So they're getting a hit of endorphin, right? They're getting that dopamine hit because I just thank them for something they've never been thanked for. Yeah, or looking at my profile. So we become dopamine dealers on our side. And then people want to continue to be able to get that. So they continue to engage. And then it opens up the audience even more because they're now continuing to go back on our digital content because they love to be able to get those things, especially from, you know, people that they hold with high regard. I mean, I wouldn't consider them anyone, but I mean, I've helped a lot of people. And I mean, dude, as I said, I get to work with guys like, you know, Joe Polish, Dan Sullivan, John Maxwell, you know, and other amazing leaders out there that, you know, read their books and now I'm helping them connect with their audience and like give value, appreciate people. Like, these are the people that all these people that are our followers, that are connections on LinkedIn, they made us. I mean, they're the ones that are listening right now to us on Facebook Live. And I mean, thank you everyone for watching us, because that's fucking awesome.
Exactly. Yeah. And I love what you just shared, because it reminds me of I used to follow, I don't follow him as closely anymore, but I used to follow Ray William Johnson on YouTube.
Okay.
Because he was hilarious when he first started, and like he got into other things, and like he's grown a lot. But I remember like following more like on YouTube and then on Facebook, and then shared one of his videos like years ago. Man, thanks for sharing, Gabe. And like, that made my day. And so it just reminds you exactly what you're talking about. It really just comes down to the principles that can carry you on any platform. And I think that because
you're right, any platform. Yeah.
Literally any platform. And I think the thing that I see people get caught in, and I've done this too, because I'm the type of guy that likes to go in and test everything and see what breaks and then stop doing that.
Yeah.
So I've done all the automated stuff on LinkedIn that you shouldn't. I've done, you know, many things that I wouldn't recommend anymore because I was testing them out. But really on any platform, if you show up with gratitude and appreciation in how you post and how you interact and things like that, people can tell and they're attracted to you. Whereas if you purely make it a numbers game, which I think business and sales is a numbers game at some level, but if that's your only focus, then everybody can tell and they feel like,
yeah, but like you said, the numbers game, right? I mean, I love it. If I send out 1,000 pitches and I get one sale, I win. No, you just pissed off 999 people.
Yeah.
There's gotta be a better way. And I mean, in this world, there wasn't enough appreciation for the little things in life. Now, with COVID.
Yeah.
100%. There's so much more. I mean, dude, I really appreciate the teachers that used to take my kids from me every single day.
Okay.
I appreciate being able to go out. I appreciate getting to see my friends, go to events, travel, all these things that we just took for granted. So there's a lot more appreciation now than there ever has before. But I mean, with this, with COVID, whatever we thought the next 40 years was going to be, we had a full reset.
Yeah.
We now, as the leaders, as the entrepreneurs, as the future, you know, what we're building, we have the ability to create right now the next 40 years. And I want to make sure we do it better, man, because that automation piece, yeah, you need some automation there, but the front side of it, that beginning, that first start of that relationship should not be automated, because you're just hoping to be able to go in. The numbers game, people don't want to catch that anymore.
Yeah.
If anyone, like we're watching right now, I want everyone to reach out and connect with me on LinkedIn, but tell me like, dude, Gabe had better hair than you on the Facebook Live. So, you know, I wanted to reach out and say, what's up, you know, and it's just, give me something. Don't send me a blank connection request. I'm going to delete it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think you're totally right. And I think early on for me, I just, in some spaces, I think there was stuff to be really aggressive and go through all those cycles and learn all that stuff.
Right.
But yeah. The more I get into, the farther I get down the road, it's like, man, a few quality connections make your life, pay the bills, bring meaning. Like there's a lot.
The group more we're in, right? TFL, yeah. Tribe for Leaders. I mean, it's so much better. I don't need to be in, you know, that's brings so much more value, being able to connect and engage and add value back and forth with a few select people, than to be able to go out there and keep on playing the game. It's exhausting. I mean, I don't want to make $1 million. I don't want to sell $1 million things.
Yeah.
You know, I'd rather connect with 10 high level individuals for $100,000. I mean, well, everyone would, but you know, you can't do that in a digital marketing spam funnel. It's,
you can't,
those people are highly educated and they know exactly what we're going on. So they're going to know these things. You've got to take a different approach to it. You've got to take the time out to build those relationships, to cultivate an opportunity like that. And people just, as you said, there's so many tools, so many opportunities. Like everyone's like, oh, I can do it. I can build a website. Like, dude, this shit wasn't easy when you and I started doing it.
Oh.
We had to build it all. We had to find it all, figure it all out, test everything. Now it's like, oh, cool. I'm going to put up a website and I'm going to monetize it. Boom, I'm done. Turn on automation. Okay, hold on. The money. I know it's coming. Come on.
And then it doesn't come, because I think that the only way we make money is if we create true value.
Yeah.
Even back in being younger and doing some of the things that I probably wouldn't do today, I was still creating value. And that's the only reason that money was coming. I would totally have gone about it a different way, but end of the day, I was showing up and creating value, because like you and I were figuring out things ahead of the curve. So we were providing value on
all
fronts. Whereas now, like you said, people still, which blows me away, two decades later, still think, oh, I can put up a website and people are going to just find it. I'm going to make money. Like, that's just not the world we live in anymore.
Well, a good friend of mine, Jesse Elder, asked me this once. He goes, Josh, he goes, where does money come from? So Gabe, if I ask you that question, where does money come from? What would you say?
Inside me.
Okay. I want everyone, really quick, we're going to give 2 seconds here. Anyone that's watching this, I want to kind of see, give me your answer. Where does money come from? I know we're going to get, well, it grows on trees. It you know, if I work hard enough, if I do, man, honestly, we take the dramatic pause. Money comes from one place and one place only: other people's bank accounts. And you have to be able to convince them and give them enough value for them to take it from their bank account and put it in your bank account. That is the only place that money comes from. It does not grow on trees. It doesn't come from prayer. It doesn't come from a lot of things. That is truly, now how you get there, there's different ways to get them to do that, but it only comes from one place.
Right. End of the day, I always tell people, because I totally understand now, because I always say, like, you have to, value comes from inside of us, and then if you provide enough value, then somebody writes a check. And I always say, like, until the money's in the account, nothing happened. Like, you didn't make a deal, you didn't get a customer, you don't have a business until you sell something to somebody. you don't have an idea in my book.
Yeah.
And then you're exactly right. It's like, it has to be, I always say, validate your ideas with real customer dollars and you're on the right track.
Yeah. I mean, you gotta be able to go in. Like, I'm trying to remember right now. It's a fail, right? It's, I'm looking right now because I posted the other day. It's first attempt in learning.
Yeah.
You know, I had a lot of attempts in learning many times, and yeah, I got lucky, like you said. And I've made the comment, like, I don't know how much value I gave. I've had people come back that I've worked with in the past, like, Josh, you were good. You actually treated us with more respect than other people, and you made money. We're always going to hold ourselves more accountable than someone else will. I just, when I see what I get to do now, and I get to smile about it when people talk comparatively to them, be like, what are you doing? You know, why don't you tell me what you do? And yeah, then I'll figure out how I need to respond based on what's going to benefit me the best. And it's like, no, I don't want to be like that anymore.
Yeah. And I think what you just mentioned is interesting, because I think you're right. I never really thought about it till this conversation of, like, early on, like, I didn't bother explaining to people what we did, because I wasn't as proud of it as I am now. Like, I wasn't making, really changing things or helping people from a principal standpoint, because I knew they would be better off. Even if we didn't work together in 4 or 5 years, I knew they'd have the foundation to get where they needed to go.
Right.
That's the big shift. Cause if you're not proud about what you do in the right way, then maybe you're doing the wrong thing. Right. So
if you can't say it, I mean, like that, like I told you earlier, like I went home to work in front of my kids.
Yeah.
And because I wanted to be able to always be confident in what I said, but I had those doors closed at a certain point and just wasn't doing the things that I needed to do to, first and foremost, right? I mean, this is why so many entrepreneurs, like, you hear them talk all the time. I'll say it too, having morning routines, adding value to yourself first. If you don't put enough, fill your own tank up first enough, how can you help other people? I don't care, in your business, your coworkers, your employees, your clients. If you're not doing and helping yourself out first and foremost, you can't, you're just going to spread more negative energy around. So it's so important. And that's, I don't know if I had mentioned or not, but I mean, I wrote this book like after my divorce. It was called Balance is Bullshit, you know, because you hear this whole work-life balance. Dude, that, it ruined me. You know, trying to balance, there's no growth. Like, you're just sitting there. Like, if you're standing there and you've got 2 feet planted on the ground and I'm sitting here on one leg trying to balance, I guarantee you, you're going to stand there a hell of a lot longer than I am without moving.
Yeah.
You know, there's little things like this. So it's about integrating. How do we integrate the aspects of our life that make us us and make us powerful? And then we can actually integrate that into other people's lives as well. I mean, that's just kind of what I did with Standard Authority, was like, look, how do I integrate the best pieces of me? Because I went through the whole thing. I was like, at first I was like, I'm going to be a self-help guru. I'm going to go through and I was like, some of my friends are like, dude, you don't want that. You're going to have a lot of people coming to you with a lot of problems. And eventually it just, help people the best way. You know, like, look, you can integrate the different pieces about what you've learned, because that's the best thing to be able to do as entrepreneurs. Like, look, share about all your failures. I used to be scared to be able to tell people that, you know, I made that bet and it cost me that much money. Or my best man for my first wedding, because I divorced and remarried now, you know, ended up stealing over $1 million from me.
Holy cow.
Yeah. I mean, dude, if there's mistakes to be made, I had some, but the biggest thing, the one thing that stuck true to me and still to this day, and even falls to my company, is my mom and dad always taught me, respect others the way you want to be respected. Not just treat people the way you want to be, respect others the way you want to be respected. Mm-hmm. And that was, respect is the only thing that it takes forever to gain, but it's easy to lose.
That's for sure.
I don't care who it is, right? I don't care if they're bagging your groceries or they're Bill Gates, you know. Mm-hmm. You want to be able to keep everyone on the same level. Now, as a kid, the adults used to look at me strange because they call them by their first name and they'd be like, who the hell are you? But
yeah,
it's fun through, and it allowed me to be able to come back from, you know, from divorce, from basically living with my parents and going through a mini depression, and then coming back up, finding the woman of my dreams, that my wife now, we're actually, today's our 2-year anniversary. So we're celebrating that. And you know, it's amazing to be 100% myself 100% of the time. Like when we started this, I said, dude, ask me anything. Talk about divorce today, get Playboy Club, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, it's just one of those things.
Yeah, absolutely. No, and it's such a richer life to live. You're not, you know, you're not tied into trying to be something you're not, or trying to figure out something that you shouldn't be even thinking about.
It takes a long time though for us to get that. I mean, I wish I had, you say, I wish I had learned it earlier, but I don't know if it would have benefited me learning it earlier.
Yeah, I think it takes, I was telling my son the other day, I was like, in the triangle of life, there's experience and knowledge, and not very many people get to wisdom. And it's like, all of us have experiences and all of us have knowledge and have access to knowledge, but unless we really step back and reflect
on
where we are, where we're going, like what we really want, and are we making the impact in life that we want, then we're just going to be, you know, educated idiots.
I mean, that's my thing. You asked me about, you know, making the money. It's like, look, you know, I have the opportunity. Yes, we do really well. We get to work with amazing clients. And you know, I don't have a lack of,
right.
And that allows me to be able to do things. Now, am I making the money? No, I'm not. And I'm okay with that. I make more than enough money that supports my family and supports my company and allows me to be able to live an amazing life. We will grow at a point that actually allows me to be able to stay happy. I never want to grow to the point where you put money first and then all of a sudden you forget why you do everything you do. It happens to us all.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's kind of like, you know, if they ever say, oh, scale of 0 to 10, where you're at. If anyone says 10, that sucks. 0, you're dead. 10, you're dead. There's no four agreement. The best I ever want to be is a 9, because I want to constantly have an opportunity to improve.
Exactly. And I can tell you, like, it's like with where my business is now, I'm not making anywhere near top line revenue what I was, you know, 13, 14 years ago.
How's your stress level?
Way happier, and like life, and like we're growing and everything's good. It's like, and I, you know, my partner Rachel always says, she's like, anything that goes up must come down. Like anything that happens quickly crashes quickly. Like there's definitely like just these reflections of how we get to some place is how we typically exit it too. So it's definitely better to grow slowly and with stability and with real relationships and depth. Because now, you know, I believe back then is like, I'll, you know, sell anything I can. I don't care how or who or whatever. And now my belief is, you know, relationships are more important to me than money. And
that's it.
And
let that money be a byproduct. I mean, opportunity will come. And, you know, that's the one thing that's hardest for all of us to learn. People ask me all the time, like if you follow me on LinkedIn, I mean, I share everything that I do with my clients freely every day. Cause I 100% believe we only all rise up together when we rise up together. You know? I mean, it's a growth for all of us. And I mean, there's too many people spreading bad information. So like I share freely all the time. People are like, well, you're never offering any services or pitching or anything. No, here's how to do it. If you want to get there yourself, here's the tools. If you want to get there faster, we can work together and we'll do it together.
Yeah.
But I want everyone to have the ability to be able to continue to act. I love that. I really do love LinkedIn, and I see, like you were saying with the Facebook changes like that, like there's a lot of people that don't know one way or another, like, oh, is this going to go downhill? Is this going to go right, up, left? They've really held true so far. Now, things have massively changed since Microsoft purchased them a couple years ago for their largest cash purchase ever. That does become, but they're still seeing, we're still seeing positive growth. And I think there's still a massive, and it doesn't matter, right? Like I said, LinkedIn's the vehicle I use.
Right.
You know, what I do and how I teach is just what my mom and dad taught me how to treat other human beings online. Instead of doing it in person, you can do these same things. You can offer appreciation if someone's on Instagram, on Twitter, on TikTok, whatever it is, you know, appreciate those people that are following you, that are making you and allowing you to be able to affect even a greater audience, because you can't do that alone.
Mm-hmm.
And so many of us entrepreneurs, we all feel like it's us holding the weight of the world. Like think Atlas, right? He's going up he's pushing the rock up the mountain, and you know, like that's not. And I think that's what causes a lot of us as entrepreneurs to, you know, have thoughts of negativity, suicide, alone, depression, things of that. And we've got to realize that, man, we've got great communities and we have abilities to actually connect with people no matter where they are in the world better than ever. Like you were saying, people know, like, we don't have to go, hey, do you have Zoom? Like, what's, no, they don't say, what's that? They, yeah, of course. You know, why not?
Yeah.
No, it's, there's just a greater ability for us to all be able to help more.
Definitely. I have one last kind of like maybe tactical level question. So I think coming from, you know, similar paths, like we both did, of like, you got to increase reach, got to buy more traffic, you got to do more, like expand and be aggressive, which obviously no longer works that way, you know, in the same way anymore. And now like you're highly focused on appreciation and intentionality in every connection you make. To me, what comes up, and I've heard other people express this at times too, is like, that sounds right and it feels overwhelming, even though doing it the wrong way is really overwhelming, because I know that for sure. Yeah. And I've tested that. But like, I look at your profile and like, you have hundreds and hundreds, you know, of engagements, comments, likes, or like that. And are you, when you started out, were you going out and talking to every single person, and was it a huge time suck?
It's a massive time. It goes through, like, you know, trying to go through, it takes a lot of time. And this is why a lot of times people, you know, hire us to be able to do what we do, because tactically, right? Yeah. When we're going in, there's three different levels of appreciation. We're going in, if you looked at my profile, I'm going to reach out. Hey, Gabe, hey, man, I saw you looked at my profile. Man, thanks so much for checking me out. Love to find out why, right? You know, thanks for engaging on my content. Or we've got the other one, which is on LinkedIn. They have a sales navigator. Most people use it to spam other people. They're like, we all say, hey, Gabe, I see you're in next and doing this and doing this. And it's like, yeah, you just pulled off different keywords of what out of my profile. We use it for social listening.
Yeah. So
everyone in this world posts online for one reason above all else. I don't care who you are, what you do, where in the world you're at. First and foremost, we all post for that hit of dopamine we all get when we get engagement.
Yep.
We became, as I said, and another way of dopamine there, we engage. So I'll look at your post, I'll engage on your post, I'll like your post, I'll comment, and I'll reach out and say, hey, Gabe, man, I saw your recent post, man. Awesome. Love it. Appreciate the value that you did. Love to be able to connect with you. Seems like we have, and because I'm identifying you as my ideal avatar. So I mean, giving you that hit of dopamine, then I'm connected. Mm-hmm. So we're doing that. We're doing that 100 times a day for our clients.
Gotcha.
So from there, my mom almost told me, when you need someone, you know, give them a compliment, right? You know, like I said, dude, Gabe, nice hair. You know, going through those whole pieces, it's so on LinkedIn, our compliment is an endorsement. So we'll go in after we connect with someone, we'll give them an endorsement. LinkedIn makes it super easy to be able to kind of come back in and go, hey, Josh, thanks for the endorsement. You just hit a button. That allows them to be able to initiate that conversation. From there, I always want to make sure I never offer unsolicited advice, because I hate getting it myself and I try never to do the things that people do to me. So I'm able to go in and go, Gabe, no problem, man. Happy to offer the endorsement. Hey, quick question while I have you. Now I can ask a qualifying question, you know, based on how, and I usually ask one, and especially around our clients, something around mindset, because you and I both know, I'd rather understand someone's mindset of where they are comparably where they are in their business. Because if I understand their minds, most people go give tactic and don't give mindset first. And I love that you and I talked a lot around mindset first before even getting to tactics.
Yeah.
Most people go, here's tactics, and they don't have the right mindset. They can't implement. So yeah. I'll ask someone around mindset, right? Like, do you consider yourself a business owner with an entrepreneurial, you consider someone yourself an entrepreneur or a business owner with an entrepreneurial mindset? Because I see that it shows me different paths. Entrepreneur, you're working 24/7, you're trying to hustle, it's exhausting. Like, you might never want to be an entrepreneur your entire life. You're going to burn out.
Right.
At some point, you want to transition to business owner, but still have that same entrepreneurial mindset for growth. So it shows they're farther along. Or, no, I work for somebody else. It gives me three different answers.
Yeah.
From there, I can provide value like, wow, that's amazing. I think this webinar might be great for you. Or I'd love to understand more about what you're talking about or your mindset around that. You have 5 minutes to jump on a call and tell me more, allow them to talk more. Or, you know, if they're not your ideal client or they answer the way, like, I work for somebody else, still give them value. Hey, that's amazing. Hey, here's a whitelist, or here's an ebook, or here's something like that. I'd love to be, because we want to make them advocates. Even if they're not ready for you now, most people, when they define someone as not their ideal person to work with, they just move on to the next. I always give value. You end the conversation with giving value. Yeah. So we always go through those different aspects. I mean, we're doing that constantly, giving 100 endorsements a day. So it's a lot.
Yeah.
But it starts off with just doing some of that, right? Mm-hmm. Endorse 10 people a day out of your current contacts. That allows them to be able to respond back. Then ask them a question about them that would give you opportunity to add value to their life, that then they can maybe educate, inspire them enough to want to ask more about you. Because when you ask about someone, we've naturally been conditioned over the lifetime. If they talk about themselves, that's where they go, okay, man, I just sat here and talked the whole time about myself. What are you up to right now? And they just knock down their entire wall of being sold and they're actually listening to us.
Yeah. And I think you said something really key that I want to point out, because yeah, some of this tactical is super helpful, but like you said, it's the principles behind it. But you said something that I think is key, because adding value is a really trendy term and people get it wrong. And so that's what you're doing, but you said it in a different way that I think is really important to point out. And you said, create advocates. And you can only create an advocate if you really stand up for them and help them and are there for them. And you actually do something like, right. And that is providing value. But I think that term gets thrown around, you're the first person I've ever heard that says, well, you need to go create advocates. Even if you don't work with them, create an advocate. And that's really showing up and serving people. And that's definitely what I'm about and what I love about how you show up and just, yeah. You know, what you do, because that's changing the world. That's actually helping people.
I'd rather have that one person that I didn't help and they go and tell 10 of their friends on, wow, man, it was amazing talking with Josh. Like, he helped me out X, Y, and Z and never asked. One of those might be one of my clients, but I mean, who knows? But I mean, I'd rather someone come in as a referral because I helped someone else without ever asking for anything in return.
Yeah.
And I mean, or later on, they hit a certain point in life, like, man, I really enjoyed, you know, what Josh said about X. You know, I think I now get it. And I think I now want to be able to move forward that way. And that's why, you know, on LinkedIn, it's like, I truly share anything I find. If you're like, oh, I'm going to covet that. And I only share if they pay me. No.
Just share it. Yeah.
Here's everything. The more we all do it the right way, the better we're all going to be. If we're all doing things the best way possible to engage and connect with other human beings, because you've probably saw on LinkedIn too, there is no B2B or B2C. B2B and B2C are terms that marketers like you and I came up with and developed years ago to be able to monetize and you know, diversify ad spend.
Yep.
Every company is run by another human being. Most of us just forgot.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thank you, Josh. This has been amazing. Everybody, I'd highly encourage you to check out Josh on LinkedIn. You, as he said, you can message him, tell him about how amazing my hair is and it's better than his. But also, you can check out soauthority.com to learn more about what they're up to. And just like he said, like, you know, take these principles, take what he shares and what he teaches and apply them. And then, you know, when you need the support and help to take things to the next level, I'd highly encourage you to connect with them, because this has always been business, but it is the future of business in such a big way right now, because technology is going to become secondary in people's lives, and automation will come secondary again to where it should be after we go through this like spurt that we're in right now. So thank you so much for sharing, Josh. It was awesome connecting, and we'll definitely have you back again soon. Okay.
Love it, Gabe, man. Had a blast. Thank you, sir.
This show is brought to you by Today's Business Leaders. Learn more at our website, todaysbusinessleaders.com. Be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Spotify today.